Before I invite Lena up here, I want to read our scripture text for this morning. Romans 11:36. For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen.
Good morning. And Merry Christmas. You all look so lovely and festive. And I'm so honored and excited to be here today to share with you from God's Word. But before I get started, let's have a moment and pray together, please. Heavenly Father, you are our good and gracious God. Thank you for your faithfulness in bringing us all together this morning to worship you. I pray for every woman in this room that you will help us to leave our worries and thoughts behind this morning and that our hearts will be directed to you, God. I pray that the Holy Spirit will dwell among us and work in our hearts to hear the word of Christ so that we may grow in grace and godliness together. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I love movies, as Delaney said. We watch a lot of movies at our house, but I especially love Christmas movies. And what's not to love, right? Nothing beats watching a fun, happy, festive movie snuggled up on the couch with a warm cup of cocoa. Not going to lie, we watch a lot of Hallmark Christmas movies at our house this time of year. Growing up, our family had a tradition of always watching the movie A Christmas Story. You know, the one with the famous line, "Let's say it together, you'll shoot your eye out, kid." In this movie, young Ralphie wants a Red Ryder BB gun for Christmas. He is so obsessed with getting this BB gun for his special gift, to a point that he is writing a thesis paper for school about it. And he is also sneaking ads into his mother's magazines and also making sure that Santa hears his big wish. His desire for this gift has consumed him, and it is all he can think about and act upon. Ralphie thinks that this gift is going to be all he needs to make him happy and content and give him great purpose in life. Have you ever had a gift like this that you desired so badly that you thought that you just need that gift to be fulfilled? How did you feel about the little game that we just played? Did your heart desire to win this gift? Were you thinking and wondering what was in that beautifully wrapped box? And are you still thinking about the adorable ornament and wishing that you had won it? This time of year comes with a lot of gift giving, and it oftentimes can be the center of our focus. But what if I told you about a greater gift, a gift that will give you joy in life, a gift that is magnificent, full of worth and loveliness, and it is a gift that keeps on giving? This gift that I want to share about today is the greatest gift of all. It is salvation and eternal life through Jesus Christ. Jesus is the heart of the gospel, and the gospel is the glory of Christ. I want to define glory for you. Glory, by way of Google definition, is high renown or honor won by noticeable achievement, magnificence, or beauty. When you think about glory by means of God's glory, it means special presence, magnificence, worth, loveliness, and grandeur of his many perfections. John Piper says, "We must see and delight in the glory of Christ. When we see this glory, we believe." To not see Christ's glory is to not believe. When we see the glory of Christ and we believe in the gospel, then how do we see it? How do we delight in the glory of Christ? How do we believe and live out Romans 11:36? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. God has made his glory visible all throughout Scripture. Today, I will share 4 points of how we ought to see Christ's glory and how we should respond to this gift. First is from him. Jesus is the source of all things. We see Christ's glory in creation. 2, Through him, Jesus is the means of all things. We see Christ's glory and his perfect humanity and deity in one. Three is continuing through him, that we see Christ's glory in his death and resurrection. And four is for him, Jesus is the goal of all things. We see Christ's glory and his sovereign purpose. So point one, from him, Jesus is the source of all things. We see Christ's glory through creation. In Genesis, we read that God created the heavens and the earth out of nothing, and it was good. Genesis 1, 1 through 3 says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and the darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, 'Let there be light,' and there was light." We read this description of how God first created, and we see God's power and how all he had to do was simply speak, and all things were created and formed. Our one eternal, great, all-powerful, transcendent God has spoken and set things into place. We should always be reminded and in awe of Christ's glory when we see creation. Think about the last time that you were in nature, perhaps enjoying the sound of the ocean waves crashing on the shore, or seeing a multitude of stars in the night sky. What about the majesty of the Grand Canyon? God made and formed all of this into existence, and he has revealed himself through it all so that we may delight in his might, his power, and his glory. If we read on, we will continue to see Christ's glory displayed in creation all throughout Scripture. Colossians 1, 15 through 16 says, "He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, in heaven and in earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him." We learn through Scripture that the Son of God is the one whom all things were created, and this ultimately means that you too were created through him and for him. So point two, through him, Jesus is the means of all things. Christ's glory is displayed in his perfect humanity and deity in one. We celebrate this Christmas season because we are celebrating the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But this is not just any birth, it is the incarnation of Christ. To fully appreciate and to be in awe of this, we should think more of the incarnation than just the baby Jesus wrapped in a swaddling cloth lying in the manger. As sweet and true as this is, the incarnation of Christ is so much more. The incarnation of Christ is God humbling himself, taking on human flesh. This is our one true God, who I have already described as magnificent, eternal, all-powerful creator, the one who is lovely, full of worth and glory, would subject himself to the limitations of physical life, come into this world as a baby to become our Savior. The incarnation can be very overwhelming to think about, but if we meditate more on it, we might see it as the special gift that it truly is, Christ in human form, fully man, yet fully God. As fully man, Jesus was born a baby through natural childbirth. He had many siblings. Jesus grew in stature and knowledge, like most children do. He grew up and became a carpenter by profession. And one trait that we have in common with Jesus is that he felt human emotion. We read in Scripture that he felt compassion towards people. He expressed joy and frustration. He was often troubled. Jesus even experienced sadness. He wept at the friend of his friend Lazarus. We also see his humanity displayed in his death, his very real and painful death. Jesus displays that he is fully man in the fact that he was tempted, But because Jesus is fully God, he never gave in to his temptations. He was sinless. Jesus never gossiped, was never jealous or boastful. He was always truthful, never telling a lie. He obeyed perfectly. And because he is fully God, he now reigns over sin victoriously. We also see Jesus' deity and his birth. Jesus was born to the Virgin Mary. He was not conceived like all other babies, rather a miraculous conception, a work of the Holy Spirit by the same power of God who created all things. This birth was even foretold years prior in the Old Testament. Isaiah 7:14 prophesies, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and we shall call his name Emmanuel." During Jesus' life and ministry, we see he is fully God by his power to perform miracles. He was able to feed 5,000 people from 5 loaves of bread and only two fish. He cast out demons. He healed many of illnesses by simply touching the sick. Jesus even calms a storm with a simple command. Does that sound familiar? Matthew 8:23 through 27 reads, "And when he got into his boat, his disciples followed him, and behold, there arose a great storm on the sea, so that the boat was being swamped by the waves, but he was asleep. And they went and woke him, saying, 'Save us, Lord, we are perishing.' Then he rose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. And then the men marveled, saying, 'What sort of man is this that even the winds and sea obey him?'" Jesus' disciples marveled at this display of Jesus being fully God when they say, "Even the winds and sea obey him." When we marvel at the beauty of the incarnation, we can then marvel and see Christ's glory displayed in his perfect humanity and deity in one. So thinking more about Jesus as the means of all things, let's move on to point 3. We see Christ's glory at his death and resurrection. The Bible was written to reveal the glory of Christ and by his Spirit to awaken faith. Through his life, death, and resurrection, Jesus accomplishes the work that he came to do, to reveal in himself, through himself, the glory of God, so that we may have the free gift of grace, salvation in Christ alone. Our hope of salvation rests on Christ's atoning sacrifice on the cross. Jesus humbled himself, coming to the earth as a baby, and he lived a perfect and sinless life in full obedience to God the Father, something that we can never do. He was even obedient to his death on the cross. He sacrificed himself on the cross to pay the price for our sins, and the wrath of God was satisfied, so that all those who would repent and believe in him shall have the free gift of eternal life with him. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of your own doing, it is a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast." What better gift could we hope to receive than the free gift of redemption and salvation through the blood of Jesus? The best part of this gift through Jesus' blood is that it doesn't end there. Jesus rose from the grave. He is alive, and he sits at the right hand of the Father. And we get to have a personal relationship with him. In Jesus' death and resurrection, we see his sovereignty over sin and death, and we can now see him for who he is, our almighty Savior, and he invites us to live and to hope in this truth. This leads me to our final point. To him, Jesus is the goal of all things. So point 4, we see Christ's glory and God's sovereign purpose. God's sovereignty shows us that he has power, wisdom, and authority to do anything he chooses. And we see God's sovereign purpose through the redemptive work of Jesus' blood on the cross. God's saving plan brings him great honor, praise, and glory. So how can we delight in the glory of Christ through God's sovereign purpose? Well, we must first give our lives to him, turning from our sin and placing our faith in him. If you are here today and would like to know more about this and about who Jesus is, let me encourage you to talk with someone after brunch. Talk with the friend who brought you, talk to your table leader, or even I would be happy to speak with you. Our hope and prayer is that you desire a relationship with Jesus Christ. Secondly, we can delight in Christ's glory when we exalt him above all things. We must treasure Christ because he is more valuable than anything. Think back to the little ornament gift and Ralphie's desire for that BB gun and ask yourself, what do you spend your time thinking about, reading about, or even doing? What are you focused on? What are you treasuring? Do you spend time focused on your job, climbing the corporate ladder? Are you so wrapped up in your children's life that it's all-consuming and takes over every area of your life? Or are you constantly checking off the boxes to gain approval from others? The fact is, the eternal Son of God laid down his life for ours, that by faith we receive his righteousness, and he creates in us a new heart to love him. So we ought to love him first, love him wholeheartedly, and seek to honor and glorify him above all. When we seek glory from others or for ourselves, we are blinded from seeing Christ's glory. So treasure Christ in all things, exalt him above all, put him first in your life. Thirdly, to delight in Christ's glory through God's sovereign purpose, we must spend time with him and get to know him. So how do you get to know someone? You spend time with them and you ask them about who they are, about their likes and dislikes. Jesus is no different. We have the ability to know him through our Bible, God's inspired word. Our saving faith is awakened and sustained in the word of God. Romans 10:17 says, "So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ." Through God's word, we have all we need to turn to saving faith and to know and to have a relationship with Jesus. We can learn who he is and how we should live and how we ought to glorify him in all we do. So read and study your Bible. Meditate over scripture and pray through scripture. Be present at your local church. Seek church membership and regularly attend to be in the fellowship of believers to grow in knowledge together. Even engage in discipleship. Encourage and grow in godliness with another lady. Just like we get to know someone by talking with them, you too can talk with Jesus. We can pray to him anytime we want. There are no limited phone times, annoying busy signals, or automated prompts. You just pray, and he delights in our prayers. I would encourage you to pray often and to pray regularly. I teach my children to model their prayers by the ACTS acronym. A, adoration, praising God for who he is. C, confession, confessing our sins regularly. T, thanksgiving, thanking him for the blessings in your life. And S, supplication, ask for needs to be met according to his will. Other ways that might help to encourage or grow your prayer life would be to keep a prayer journal. You can write down your prayers and look back to see the work that God has done through answering them. Have a prayer partner, maybe someone that you could meet with regularly, whether you meet or call, and pray together. God delights in the prayers of the upright, and Jesus' glory is magnified when we take time to know him and spend time with him. Lastly, we can delight in Christ's glory through God's sovereign purpose when we have hearts of obedience. The Bible tells us that we show our love for Jesus by obeying him in all things. Jesus 14:15 says, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." A Christian who is not obeying Christ's commandments could rightly be asked, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I say?" Luke 6:46. God tells us in his word exactly what we need to keep from falling into sin. Obedience to Christ is a freedom from sin. And C.S. Lewis says, obeying God allows us to really get to know him and ourselves as we were created by him. And he will bless us for it in heaven with him forever, freed from sin, temptation, and trouble. When Jesus is the goal of all things, we bring him much honor and glory when we take time to know him, to exalt him above all things, and when we follow him with obedience. So this Christmas season, what gift are you asking for? Have you been like Ralphie, spending so much time dwelling on a worldly gift that may only bring you joy and satisfaction for a moment? Or are you dwelling in the most precious gift of all, a gift full of magnificence, full of worth and loveliness, the gift of the gospel, the glory of Christ? Jesus has the ultimate position and honor and holds divine power. Everything in creation was made by Jesus, through Jesus, and for Jesus. He was at the beginning of creation when all things were made through him, and he is the one seated at the right hand of the Father in the heavenly realms. And he is the end goal of all creation in order to bring him glory. So let us rejoice in this greatest gift that we can ever receive and a gift that we can share with others. That is the glory of Christ, eternal salvation through Christ's atoning work on the cross. For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. So let us pray. Father God, you are magnificent, full of worth and loveliness, and you alone are worthy to be praised. God, I thank you and praise you for the gift of the gospel, salvation through Christ alone. And I thank you, God, that we can come together today to celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior. Help us now to see the glory of Christ and to treasure the glory of Christ for the wonderful gift it is. For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen.